It is no secret that financial pressure is a big concern for most Australians. With real wage growth stagnating, housing prices soaring, and power prices adding more strain to the back pocket, it is no surprise that economic uncertainty has provoked a shift towards innovative and unconventional solutions. Universal Basic Income, or UBI, is an idea that has been touted as an answer to the economic strain that is gripping many parts of the world. However, opinion is divided on the viability of a UBI scheme to solve the structural deficits in our economic system. Last month, one of the most outspoken proponents of UBI, Carl Wiedekwist, an advocate of UBI for decades, delivered a lecture at the University of Sydney for the Sydney Ideas series.
I support the universal basic income because I believe it's wrong for anyone to come between another person and the resources they need to survive. I think it's wrong for anyone to put conditions on the resources, on another person's access to the resources they need to survive.
Wiedekwist argues that work is inherently a subjugating force, forcing workers into jobs they don't like, taking orders from those in undeserved positions of power, and says that the labour market is used as an instrument to threaten people with poverty and destitution.
The worst thing you can do for a labourer is put them in the position where they have no choice but to labour. The best thing you can do for a labourer is put them in a choice where they can say, take this job and shove it, where they actually have the power to say no to bad wages and working conditions. That gives laborers, the entire middle class, 90-some percent of the population, the power to command better wages and better working conditions. Basic income is for everyone.
Reminiscent of campaigns like the Occupy movement, UBI advocates say that the riches of the modern era have not been fairly distributed. But economists like Gigi Foster from the University of New South Wales Business School argue that in the case of UBI, the devil is in the detail.
Dangerous because if you actually examine what it looks like, it doesn't seem to me to be progressive, which is often the impression that you get, particularly if you hear it's being bandied about by the left. The left wing usually are the ones who are supporting it more stridently. And the reason why it's not progressive is basically that you are taking money that you would otherwise be spending just on the more disadvantaged people in society, and you're spreading it across everybody. So that's sort of reverse Robin Hood, and that's, you know, not usually what the left has in mind when it's promulgating this policy.
Dr. Foster says that Australia already has a welfare support system that is designed as a plan B and is wary of the cost of introducing a UBI.
It's also just extremely expensive, and that's the biggest argument against it, is how much money it would cost. So, you know, orders of magnitude above what we're spending at the moment in terms of transfer programs for the disadvantaged. So, you know, New Start allowance and age pension and these sorts of programs, which cost us about $180 billion a year. We would be talking for a serious universal basic income of a reasonable size, like $20,000 per adult. We're talking more like $380 billion per year, which is a really, really hefty, whacking great bill. And that's why it's basically politically, you know, not a starter.
One of the most successful UBI trials was conducted in northern India. Dr. Sarath Davala was the research director of the Indian pilot study and says that there were many unforeseeable benefits.
Our study shows, which is now in the public domain and its book is out, and in so many different ways we are also disseminating the findings, that the effects of basic income on poor households particularly and poor demographic groups in the villages, such as senior citizens who do not get a pension, disabled people, women, so children. So these are demographic groups specifically, and marginalized groups in the villages specifically, and of course the poor in the villages specifically, have benefited most from this. So the results have been quite overwhelmingly positive.
In developing countries such as India, an unconditional financial payment can have dramatic effects, creating dignity in participants and contributing to more upward social mobility.
And when we interviewed through our qualitative methodologies the heads of the villages, they said that more people became busier on their farms. So people don't have, lazy time or the free time, idle time to hang out and drink of it. So the whole point is, I'm saying, people started spending their own time more productively.
Another UBI trial that has captured worldwide attention is currently being carried out in Finland. The Finnish UBI trial commenced early this year and will run until 2019. The trial consists of 2,000 Finnish welfare recipients, who will be given 560 euros a month, unconditionally, until the trial ends. I spoke with Professor Olli Kangas, the Director of Community Relations for the Finnish government, about the different aspects of the Finnish trial.
The government wanted to have an experiment if basic income is a device to create better incentives in the Finnish social security system for people to accept, for example, short-term jobs and perhaps a little bit lower-paid jobs, so that this is a randomized nationwide field experiment, and it's obligatory, so that when the lottery set that this guy, that guy, and that guy are included, then by legislation they are obliged to participate in this experiment. And I think that this is the good thing in this experiment, that it's obligatory and we can avoid selection bias.
In Australia, there is a push for the implementation of UBI to improve the lives of disadvantaged Indigenous Australian communities. Australian Aboriginals suffer rates of unemployment and illness far higher than national averages. Dr. Janara Gurangurang is a Waka Waka Woolly Woolly traditional owner from central Queensland, who is currently serving as adjunct assistant professor in Indigenous Studies at the University of Canberra. Ms. Gurangurang says that a UBI would take away the shaming that is often associated with welfare dependency, and also contribute to more enterprise and initiatives in Aboriginal communities.
Universal basic income would have an impact on one level personally for individuals, because it takes away that shaming, punitive welfare reform, and enables people to provide for themselves the basic necessities of life, which they can't do at present. But it would also enable them as a family, as a group and as a community to start negotiating the establishment of enterprises, and they don't have to think about surviving on a daily basis.
If you take away a basics card of welfare reform and give somebody a basic income, not only do you give them back their dignity, but you give them a platform or a step up into choosing a different kind of life. If you give somebody back their dignity, their pride, and their capacity to provide for themselves and their family, it makes a huge difference, not only emotionally, but it will economically.
The momentum for UBI has risen rapidly in the last few years, with the likes of Mark Zuckerberg and Richard Branson calling for a generational push to make UBI a reality in more parts of the world. But with opinions of economists split and little political support for the idea in Australia, a universal basic income looks to be a fair way off. This is Jordan Fermanis for The Daily on 2SER Radio.